Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 90s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. And welcome to another edition, beginning a new decade, and also into our sixth year almost, on 93.5 FM. I hope you enjoyed the Christmas season. I had a good time. I relaxed and rested and meditated and prayed, healed, and played some Simon Says for a while. Simon Says, turn on your radio. Simon Says, sit down. Simon Says, shut up. Anyway, today we're going to talk about the decade of 1990 because so many people are so interested about what's about to happen. And, you know, there are a lot of people in the New Age community that are freaked out right now. We're talking paranoia. If you read the LA Times or if you're familiar with Elizabeth Clare Prophet, you might be well aware of her prophecy that after December 31st, 1989, they have completed and finished their fallout shelter in Montana. In case you're not aware of this, on page 3 of last Wednesday's edition of the Los Angeles Times, there was a huge article on Elizabeth Clare Prophet and her doomsday prediction of an economic breakdown, including a first strike from the Soviet Union to the United States, which would happen sometime after December 31st, 1989. And so she was instructed to build by her guides, I believe Saint Germain, a football field size fallout shelter, in fact, 3 football fields, 300 yards long, that would house obviously thousands of her followers, including plenty of fresh food, fresh water, gardens, and also animals, dogs, and weapons and ammunition, preparing for the end. So, of course, this does follow a lot of the tribulation chapter of the Bible, so they say, and Elizabeth Clare Prophet and her followers do believe that this, in fact, is the end. And they were instructed the end would come at any time this year, after December 31st. And here we are, January 2nd, and so far nothing's happened. So I feel pretty good about that. Otherwise, I think I'd be out of here. But anyway, I want to try to discuss this prophecy and also discuss what I feel the 1990s will offer us as far as transition. This is the key decade for what we refer to in astrology as the Aquarian shift. Because with the 3 planets, the lords of Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces, the 3 planets that follow in order, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune, all together in Capricorn in a conjunction, and with the Lord of Sagittarius, which is the preceding sign to Capricorn, Aquarius and Pisces, we're talking about Jupiter, in opposition to Uranus, well, let's say that this year should be a critical focus year for the destiny fork of this planet as far as where we are going. And I'm not going to try to scare anybody today because I am confident and positive in hoping that something good will happen. The key to this topic, though, in case you were wondering what the topic is about, the key focus is the aspect of the largest planet, Jupiter, which is now retrograde in Cancer at 4 degrees, in opposition to Uranus at 5 Capricorn, which creates an earthquake watch type of scenario for the entire Ring of Fire that actually was what triggered the earthquake in Australia, and I believe which is what also triggered the earthquake in San Francisco. Actually, any city that's on the Ring of Fire that is bordering on the coast of the Pacific Ocean, any city in the entire Pacific Ocean, is subject to earthquake activity in the next 3 to 4 months due to this long opposition of Jupiter opposed Uranus. Now, also, another key to this topic is the fact that things do appear to be stable right now on the planet. In other words, as far as world governments are concerned, a lot of metamorphosis is going on right now that makes it appear that the 1990s are going to be a decade of peace and happiness. Frankly, by the way, this aspect of the Jupiter opposed Saturn will finally be over, I would say, in June. Okay, so it is about 6 months. But anyway, we do have the appearance of peace and happiness and all types of government reformations that are going on this planet. But at the same time, I believe that it is covering up a terrible recession. Because you got to remember that during the Saturn-Uranus conjunction and the Saturn-Neptune conjunction that's been going on for the last few years, that the homeless rate and the starving rate and the hungry rate has increased drastically. Even though the middle class doesn't feel it, the lower class in this country particularly does, and worldwide, of course, they do. And, of course, we've had an increasing number of bank failures and also junk bonds situations that have been going on. And much of this is due to these three planets, the lords of Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces, Saturn, Lord of Capricorn, Uranus, Lord of Aquarius, and Neptune, Lord of Pisces, being lined up in line. If you looked at a telescope, you could see them all together in line in space in that sign of Capricorn astrologically. You see, what we are looking at right now, as far as the future of Earth and the future of mankind, is we are looking at some kind of transition that is about to happen. Now, astrologically, it's difficult to pinpoint exactly how it's going to happen, where it's going to happen, or what will cause it. Suffice it to say that if we look back at an aspect, for example, let's go back to December 7th of 1941, just for fun, and I didn't look at this ahead of time, and see where Saturn and Uranus were, and we'll find that Saturn and Uranus were within conjunction of each other, both retrograde, in Taurus, and Saturn would be at 23 Taurus, and Uranus would be at 27 Taurus. Well, Saturn has moved away from its conjunction of Uranus, but that's going to reoccur later this year. So we do have that weird Saturn-Uranus conjunction again here in 1990 that occurred December 7th. And the reason why I use December 7th is because the United States at that point in world history was in a situation of seemingly retaining a peaceful coexistence or a non-aggressive pact with Japan. Now, I want you to remember that the history of this country has kind of been a surprise attack kind of history. You know, all the way from Custer's Last Stand down to Pearl Harbor, the pattern of the United States history has always been a history filled with surprises and shocks and reversals, like the Kennedy assassination and the Lincoln assassination and the separation of states during the Civil War, and all kinds of weird, strange occurrences have followed us throughout history. Now, we look back at Pearl Harbor when all of our folks were sleeping quietly in Pearl Harbor in Hawaii December 7th, and the Japanese were signing a peace treaty with us in Washington. We never expected them to come and level our Navy Sunday morning, December 7th. So, interesting, we have Saturn and Uranus back again, so close in Capricorn. Saturn is 12 and Uranus is 5, so they're 7 degrees apart, which is still a conjunction. And with Jupiter and Cancer oppose Uranus, what that tells me is that, frankly, as far as world history is concerned, we must be prepared for an event that will happen in the world, some kind of situation that will pinpoint a drastic change for the United States. And because the United States is a focal point of strength and security for this planet, we can actually expect life as we know it to possibly change this year, or possibly at least during this decade. And hopefully that will be for the better. Now, I've talked about this in the past a lot, and I'm not frightened of it. I'm not frightened of the Aquarian generation, the Aquarian vibration, the age of Aquarius. I'm not frightened of the qualities of this planet being transformed to the good of the people. I am a little concerned that here we are in 1990, and Russia and the United States, with all their glasnost and peaceful coexistence and stuff, has still not removed their nuclear arms. It seems almost ludicrous that two great powers like the Soviet Union and the United States should still be armed to the teeth in this time of peaceful coexistence, when suddenly it seems like the Cold War has been ended and dropped. But at the same time, why haven't they disarmed? It doesn't make any sense. It's like there's no reason for us to fight anymore, so why are we pointing guns at each other's heads still? So that concerns me. Also, the fact that we're really not doing anything about major things on the planet, like natural resources, which are being depleted as I speak, like toxic waste and pollution and destruction of the oceans and of the air and the ozone and of the water supplies. You know, like we like to live our lives and think nothing is happening. But still, all of us in Southern California have restrictors on our showers. So we're in a water shortage situation now and in the East Coast. But what do you think is going to happen in 5 years? Because nothing is really being done actually to preserve the water we're going to need 5 years from now. And if we run out of water, or if we run out of natural resources, or oil or gasoline or other things, what does that serve as far as the future of our families and our children and our governments and our nations? So there is a lot of concern because, frankly, in this decade, a lot must be done in order to preserve this planet and these people that live on this planet. Funny thing about the universe, and you'll notice this in your own lives, that if you don't do something to take care of business in your life, spiritually, if you don't do something to work out your karma, and if you're being bad to yourself or self-destructive, you'll notice that events can happen in your life that will force you to deal with them, force you to face up with them, along the lines of the destruction and the torment of planet Earth and the people on this planet, and of course many of us living in a illusory state of denial, you know, refusing to accept the fact that banks are failing and the junk bond issue is terrible, and that we do have nuclear weapons still, and there are people homeless and starving everywhere, millions of people all over the world, and there are people that are having trouble meeting their bills, and the middle class is up to its throat in debt right now with credit cards and loans and mortgages, and, you know, like, the stock market is shaky, you know, and there's all these things where people are, like, in denial, and metaphysical people are coming up to me, and they're saying, Farley, well, let's be confident, let's be positive, let's use affirmations, and let's use visualizations, and we can turn it around, we can correct it. And I say to that, the question is it really too late for that? And is really the issue in this decade more an issue of survival and seeking sanctuary to prepare for the great transition that must occur to karmically balance and correct the issues and the problems that exist on planet Earth? Many of you are dealing with personal problems. Many of you are worried about your career. Do you know why? I'll tell you why. Because with those three planets, Saturn and Uranus and Neptune, in the sign of career and also the sign of karma, which is Capricorn, career and endeavor and ambition as we know it in this decade will never be the same again. I hate to freak people out, but a lot of these people that are out there studying to be lawyers, studying to be doctors, and working on being politicians, and working on being mechanics, and working on being secretaries or computer operators, I hate to tell you this, but these careers may be non-existent in one decade. What we're looking at here is we're looking at a need to focus on humanitarian good, on preservation of life. The way I see the Earth right now is I see the Earth in a red alert state. If I was an extraterrestrial, which I oftentimes feel I truly am, much more than being human, then from an objective point of view, not judging the Earth, I would have to say that this planet is in trouble. In fact, this planet is going down the tubes. And as an extraterrestrial, I might find myself several parsecs away from Earth in a safety zone of sanctuary because I'd be frightened as to what might happen next. You know, I'm going to give you a couple of examples as to what I feel might happen on this planet to offer a transition. I, for one, and I'm not trying to be political, I'm trying to somehow be objective, and I welcome your calls if you have insight in this issue, because once again, if you remain in a state of denial, or in a state of what I call Daffy hallucination, which is the way we were December 6, 1941, prior to the bombing of Pearl Harbor, then when reality does strike, and if this awesome transition does occur, whether it'll happen from a meteor striking Earth, or whether it'll happen in a major metropolis with an earthquake where there will be a meltdown of a nuclear reactor and millions of people and thousands of square miles of the United States or Soviet Union will be affected, which would definitely affect the economy of the world. If one city, one major city on this planet, like a Tokyo, or like a Moscow, or like a New York, or a London, or a Los Angeles, or a San Francisco, one major city filled with corporate offices was affected by something like that, which is what I call a Jupiter-Uranus opposition type effect. You have the largest planet, Jupiter, which is a planet of freedom, which is a benefic planet, which often brings good, retrograde in opposition to a malefic planet, Uranus, which is one of the karma planets, which is a planet of shock, changes, breakups, lightning, earthquakes. You have the largest planet, Jupiter, opposition, one of the other larger planets, Uranus, with the Earth right in the middle. And this is like a space shuttle type aspect. Remember the space shuttle catastrophe? This is what we call the Aquarian vibration under incredible stress by Jupiter. What we're talking about here is we're talking about a key focal point that could affect world history. One incident, a single incident, that could affect world history like a house of cards. And I don't think that we need to actually embrace ourselves or embellish ourselves in an aura of trauma or in an aura of fear or worry. But what I do think we should do as New Age metaphysical spiritual type beings is be aware of the odds that we're dealing with. That this decade serves to be a decade of transition. It is the major Aquarian decade of the century as far as expecting violent changes on the planet. And we should follow the news and follow the world events and follow situations that would serve as a major focal point in the world. Now, suffice it to say that in my confidence and in my optimism, I hope and pray that nothing like this will ever happen. Because I believe that even though Jupiter's opposed Uranus, that nothing might happen. And even though Saturn's conjunct Neptune, that everything's fine. And Saturn, as I speak, is 12 Capricorn, and Neptune, as I speak, is, in fact, 12 Capricorn. And first Jupiter will go opposition Uranus, and then it'll go opposition Saturn and Neptune. So by July of this year, if it's going to happen, it'll happen by then. But let's say there was a catastrophic earthquake, say, in a place where they had a nuclear plant, one of these plants that were so important for us to create cheap energy, a nuclear power plant. And let's say there was a meltdown. The state of the world's economy right now, with the value of the dollar as it is so incredibly shaky that if you lost 1,000 corporate centers in a major metropolis, not only would that crash the stock market overnight, but who knows what would happen if the United States economy collapsed, how that would affect the rest of the world. We're talking about a depression that could occur within 7 days. Now, that's what I call a Uranus opposition. Now, once again, the reason why the Astrology Hour exists is because, unlike other radio programs, we try to bring you the facts and the odds of things that occur on planet Earth. We try to bring you the odds and the facts of what I think could occur on planet Earth. Like I say, the way things are going, it appears that everything's going to be okay. It's a little strange that a woman that a lot of people respect, Elizabeth Clare Prophet, would be in the middle of Montana in this fallout shelter preparing for the end. Because she totally believes and accepts astrology, and believe it or not, she has an entire staff of excellent astrologers that are totally aware of the Aquarian shift that's occurring in this decade of transition. So these people are not metaphysically ignorant. In fact, they have sought sanctuary. I have no idea why they picked Montana, which is one of the major targets as far as our ICBMs are concerned, but they picked Montana for some reason. But still, it's just something that we should be aware of, because in case there was a critical Aquarian event that occurred that did alter the course of this planet, well, what that would tell me the very next day would be to pick myself up, shake myself off, liquidate my assets as much as possible, acquire as much dried foods, fresh water, a well if possible, right? And to get the people I know and love that were willing, and move out of the target areas. Not just for nuclear reasons, but frankly, in case of an economic catastrophe of some kind, in case the negative did occur, the cities would not be the place to live, because a lot of people in the cities are armed, and some of the symptoms we are experiencing now with homeless and starving and gang type of situations would be magnified tremendously. Not only would there be just a few thousand people starving, there'd be millions starving. Not only would there be just a few gangs, there would be thousands of gangs. And what would that do to real estate values? Well, you tell me. So it is something to be concerned with, because I think we are living in a very fragile time right now. And if I were president, then I would make an agreement with the Soviet Union immediately, just like New Zealand has, right? A nuclear non-proliferation pact, which would shut down all of our reactors in both countries and totally disarm ourselves, nuclear-wise, on an oath of trust. And that would somehow preserve and protect both nations, at least, and a lot of the countries on this planet, by removing that threat. And that way, in case there was an Aquarian shift of some kind, be it an earthquake or a meltdown or something unforeseeable, like a surprise attack, which wouldn't be able to happen if we had that kind of treaty, then at least we'd know the people on this planet would be protected. Now, I was talking to a really nice man when I was in the desert over the weekend, a guy named Tom Jackson, and he was talking to me about how genocide was something that was common that happened throughout Earth's history. Whenever things got out of hand, or too many people were around, or too many problems were there, it seems like genocide was always the natural response that occurred. Now we have close to 6 billion people on the planet. One wonders if we would be able to preserve and protect all these people, which we're having a problem doing right now, and at the same time guide ourselves into the 21st century under an oath of peace and freedom and love and happiness. It's funny how some of these movies that have met with the greatest success from Hollywood have been movies of a dismal future, like Blade Runner and like Logan's Run and like Road Warrior and like Thunderdome, and a lot of these movies that people see as a post-catastrophe event that will occur on Earth in the 90s that will lead us into the 21st century, that frankly, astrologically, is an option. So, you know, I'm not trying to frighten anyone, but you know what? I think the purpose of this show, and if you record this show, today's show, and let's say 5 years from now you played this tape, well, at least you would say something like, wow, at least Farley let us know what the odds were. Back January 2nd, 1990, Farley Malaris was an individual that got up and told us the odds that we could sail through the 90s with no problem, or that our natural resources were terribly depleted, that the toxic waste and the nuclear threat was intense, that the economy was shaky, and in fact that dread transition that could possibly occur would be triggered by some freak event that might happen on planet Earth. And once again, I remind you of your own personal life situations. I remind you of what happens if you don't take care of your stuff. If you don't take care of your karma, if you don't process your bad relationships, past, present, and future, if you don't take care of your attitude and your morals, if you don't take care of your ethics and your choices, if you don't somehow return to a spiritual focus, to a selfless spiritual grounding, if somehow you are seething with obsessions and the need to acquire money and empire and power, if you don't take care of your body and your mind and your soul and your emotions, then note how in this instant karma type period, and I remind you, instant karma is what this is all about. You know, when you have three planets in Capricorn, when karma comes down, it comes down in a lightning bolt. And be reminded in your own lives are serving as examples of what could happen to this planet and to this nation. You have a sudden reversal. The other day, November 19th, I fell when I was playing football and totally crippled myself, ruptured 3 or 4 muscles in my knee, and found myself running at about 1/3 speed of my normal life. It's funny, just like we have problems and midlife crises and setbacks, so do nations, so do people, so do planets, so do families. And that's why it's so important that in this Aquarian age we bind together somehow and protect each other. And if not under the type of focus that is positive for world's future, it is very important, in my opinion, that those of us that are guided by the Spirit somehow have the intuition and the knowledge and the power and the wherewithal to seek sanctuary, to seek protective grounds, and to seek nourishment in case something weird or negative should come down, which is what Elizabeth Clare Prophet was talking about. So I'm not leaving California, and I'm not quitting my job, and I'm not going to change my life. I'm going to meditate and pray and stay happy, confident, and sober, and take care of myself and get in good shape and prepare for whatever's about to happen, whatever it may be. But still, even though I am going to do all those good things, I'm going to watch the headlines, and I'm going to observe world events just to see if there will be that one focal point, that one Uranus shift that could occur in 7 days that would totally change life as we know it on this planet. And if that happened, frankly, I hate to tell you this, but I would be gone, probably in 24 hours, and I'd probably go north, somewhere where there's fresh water, lots of forest, plenty of altitude, and enough people that would be protective and loving and spiritual enough to offer a spiritual sanctuary of some kind until the world would finish its transition that would open the gates to a true age of Aquarius, with priorities on the spirit of humanity and the spirit of God combined, to offer happiness, hope, and health and love in the future. The thing I love about the Astrology Hour and what I will remember about this show, no matter what happens in the future, is that we served as a guidepost and we served as a way for people to seek spiritual sanctuary in the 80s and now in this, the 90s. So in case something does happen to the planet, which would offer a very drastic transition, then at least we would be able to return to that spiritual focus, which might offer the best nourishment in the future. Because if one day you do find yourself in a shortage of water, or you do find yourself in a shortage of food, or in a shortage of clothing, or housing, or whatever, insecurity, period, then at least you'll know you have your spirit. because that's what we like to teach here in the Astrology Hour. And that's what the purpose of the show is, to be objective and to understand the changes that we are confronted with on a day-to-day basis, to understand karma and self-realization with focus on spiritual growth. That's why I love astrology. And that's why we use astrology on this show to help people understand themselves. When someone buys an astrology chart, they are taking that first step that they need to start getting in touch with that higher part of themselves. In order to get to your spirit, you have to understand your karma. And in order to understand your karma, you need to learn about your focus, the choices you made prior to this lifetime. The astrology chart is a map of your karma and helps you understand this illusion of separation and this uniqueness that you have chosen. So this show is almost like a riddle. I'm kind of tricky the way I kind of introduce you to your own higher self by using astrology to uncover these truths. You know, unlike a lot of people that will try to tell you what's happening in your future or try to lay out the prophecy, what we want you to do is judge for yourself. We want you to find the truth within. We want you to seek spiritual and psychic answers from within. You are the power. You are the knowledge. So in case you like what we're about, know that you will support this show by becoming a member of the Astrology Hour in this, our sixth year on KFOX since 1984, which George Orwell thought would be the end, frankly. But we're still kicking, aren't we? Okay, I'm kind of high from that topic. I'll have to sit down and listen to that show because a lot of information came out that I need to hear about what's going to happen in the future of Earth. I think it's very important with these transits.